Open your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to ask you a few things. Where's salvation found? Where do we find salvation? Christ. That's a simple answer to us, isn't it? Not to everybody. So tell how many answers you would have got on that. We know that Christ saved sinners. He gave himself for what? For our sins. Didn't come here and give himself for our righteousness, did he? We know this. This is a terrible fault in religion. Human goodness. Not just religion, in the world. I saw a fella the other day that I think a lot of. I just watched him. I was at the bank. I watched him unload his truck and throw some garbage in the dumpster. Old fella now. And I always liked him a lot, but pretty vile a lot of times. Pretty vile. But he's hanging on to some goodness. Goodness. He got no interest in any truth at all. He's hanging on to some form of goodness like everybody does. It bothers us, don't it? Human goodness is a fiction. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a hindrance to man's salvation. What have you always said? Self-righteousness will keep you out of heaven quicker than anything. And it does. We see it. And we strive to root that out. We just root that idea out. Nearly every message is damn the man and uphold the Savior. All this is vital in preaching the gospel. We preach salvation in a person. In a person. Not ideas. Not theories. Not works. Not doctrine. Men have got to look away from all these things and themselves and look to a person. They got to look to Christ. And that's that. We see that in what I'm fixing to read you. Luke chapter 2, Simeon's message is a gospel message. Just he says very little, but it's the gospel. And I hope to be able to show you that clearly this morning. Look at Luke chapter 2. Let's start reading there at verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now look, I know that we're very careful to honor our Lord and to honor Christ, but Jesus saved us. That's part of what I'm getting to. A person named Jesus saved us. Amen. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Our Lord was about 42 days old, just a little over a month old. So keep that in mind. A month old child is what Mary brought. It was 32. It was 8 days for the circumcision, 32 days for her purification, which is about 42 days. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, that's the first son born to a woman. The first son had to be redeemed. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, that's this redemption process, then took he him up in his arms, Simeon took the child Jesus, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now let thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. A couple of things concerning Simeon. He found Christ in the temple, possibly based on one verse. The Spirit had come to him. Spirit came to him just like the Spirit comes to us through things written. He had the old books. He possibly knew that he was coming to the temple based on this one verse. The Lord in Malachi. Malachi 3:1 says, the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to this temple. Now that's faith, isn't it? That's hope. That's faith in what he had been taught and told, and that was 400 years. 400 years since Malachi wrote that. What if they had come at different times? What if Simeon had been preoccupied? That wasn't going to happen, was it? Why? Why? The Spirit had arranged all this. Providence had guided him. And where I'm getting to is all this is gospel here, isn't it? This is what happens to everybody who comes and sees Christ. See what I'm saying? Those who find Christ are led to him by the Spirit. Not by his own will or wisdom. We think it is. We come in here and sit down. We think, I drove myself here. What's the scripture say about that? Solomon wrote, he says, you draw me and I'll run after you. That's key, isn't it? You draw me and then I'll run after you. And I don't think a lot of people ever know that. That's why we ought to be patient with what people say. I don't think a lot of people ever know they were drawn until they're taught it down the road. I wish we could get a ton of illiterate people that don't know anything about sovereignty in this church. I really do. Folks get locked in on these doctrines that we preach and they wish they just didn't know anything. Learn it later. Learn Christ first. Worry about them doctrines later. Learn Christ. I wish you'd be pleased to break through on these little old churches, but maybe one thing is we just don't focus on this person I'm talking about enough. All hope of finding Christ, though, is in him finding you. But you'll know that later. You'll see that later on. I had a person in here that would tell you now that I found him. They know who found him. They know Christ found him, but you may not have known that early on. Then look how quick Simeon recognized him. There were other babies in that temple. I mean, our Lord wasn't the only, you know, firstborn being redeemed. That there were other babies there. He recognized this one, didn't he? Mine eyes, he said, mine eyes have seen your salvation. He didn't say that to any of the other babies. He said, mine eyes. He didn't go to this thing. That's not him. No, that's not him. Right to him. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Those looking for Christ see him. Christ is right here. Christ is in this message. He's here. But not all see him, do they? We see that. That's what I was telling Delilah last week over at Sylacauga. I said, Delilah, if everybody that had been through here was still here, they got their little old sanctuary about half this size, isn't it? I said, you'd have been 3-4 times this size. Same with every Grace Church I know of. Not everybody sees him. They hear the same message, but they don't all see him, do they? Their minds are clouded with all those other children in the temple. Religion. Preconceived ideas. Those children. Their minds get clouded. They don't see the child with a capital C. They missed the child for the children. Religion. Simeon was enlightened, wasn't he? Believers are enlightened. When you're enlightened. Faith, hope, providence, enlightenment. All these things are necessary when closing to Christ. But who does it all? Christ does it. He does. The Spirit does it. He, and when you see Him, you know you found Him. You know He's the bread. Nothing else satisfies after that, does it? Nothing. He's the bread. He's life. Like I said, there's a lot of children. One child. Here's our first point. Here's in this, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Number one, Christ is salvation. Christ is salvation. It's true, He is a Savior. We know that because the angels sang, didn't they? Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But He's more. He's more than a Savior. He's salvation. He's it. Moses said, He hath become my salvation. David said, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Isaiah, Behold, God is my salvation. He's it. It's good to see salvation. It's vital to see salvation in the works of Christ, in the life of Christ, in the death of Christ. It's vital. But the essence of salvation is in a person. And I'm telling you, that's what you talk to people, that's what they're missing. He is salvation. The gospel loses its sweetness when the person of Christ is placed in the background. The person of Christ. It becomes doctrine only. Men preach a theological Christ. I know a lot of men who are just as straight as a gun barrel on doctrine. But there's no person in their message. There is no person. They're just as accurate on doctrine as they can be. But they're dry. They're dry. Who do we want to... Why are people pulling up sermon audio? They hear a person in the message of some preachers. That's what people want. Hey, if Christ is in you, He's your food. He's your manna, isn't He? He's what you feed on. He's the main dish at the feast. If I don't preach Christ, somebody please tell me. If I don't make Him real, tell me. I won't do this. I won't preach just notes. He's what I feed on, so I'll just sit down and let somebody stand up here and feed me. Amen. Everything about the Lord is saving. He is salvation. His teaching, His examples, His tenderness, all these things help us. Now, we'll go back to that new Fox thing that's out there now. What is that, an app? I tell you, I miss the days of rotary phones and three channels. What's that called? With those like a YouTube and a Netflix and those apps. That new Fox app that's out there. Well, they have that Bible study on it, you know. That's what they're hearing, is these things about Jesus. His tenderness, His love. And they're missing the person. So that you if you don't get the person, you're going to miss salvation. You're going to miss it. Christ lives. We sing a song. You ask me how I know. And this, but this is the difference. This is the direction things are going. We're going from objective to subjective in religion. We sing a song. I serve a risen Savior, and then it says, "You ask me how I know He lives. How do we know He lives? It says He lives within my heart." That's subjective, isn't it? You won't find that in the Gatsby's, and I like that song. His song's fine. It's an objective Christ in the old music. You see what I'm saying? How do I know he lives the Bible? In Romans 8, 9 through 11 tells me how he lives. He's risen and he sends the Spirit as a body in heaven. He sends the Spirit to us. That's the same with these teachings on Christ's love, his tender. You're leaving out the person. What we do is we make it, what they do is they make it about us. How can I love more like Christ? I can't. How can I be tender like Christ? I can't. It's not about me, though, is it? It's not about what I am or what I can become. It's all about Him. I need to hear about Him. He's my hope, not what I do. I can't do enough. I leave myself wondering. If I'm dying, I wonder, did I do enough? And we all do that. We all do. As much as we know, that's our nature. We think, ooh, Lord, if I'm dying, did I do enough? I didn't do enough. I'll never do enough. Compared to what He did, how could I ever do enough? Can't. And then He's the only salvation. Simeon found no other, did he? Simeon was just. He tells us he was just. It says, Simeon, the same man, was just and devout. He was just and devout. He was perfect in character, basically. But not he didn't see salvation there, did he? He didn't see it in his honest actions, his prayers, his devotions with God. That it's clear that's the type of man he was. He didn't see it there. He didn't see salvation in any of that. If that had been the case, he had already obtained. He wouldn't need to be here looking for salvation, would he? He would have already obtained it. The sight of that baby Jesus wouldn't have resulted in, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But it wasn't in himself, was it? Salvation wasn't in him. Simeon was familiar with the works of the temple. Now, whether he is a priest or not, I don't think anybody really knows. Spurgeon said the main thing about Simeon you've got. He was devout and a just man. He said he was a believer. And that's really all we need to know about Simeon. He was a believer. But we do know he was familiar with the workings of the temple, whatever he was. So he saw. He was faithful to attend. He saw the sacrifices. He saw all the blood in the morning and the evening and festivals. But salvation wasn't in the blood of bulls and goats to him, was he? He didn't say, mine eyes have seen salvation there, did he? He saw all those ordinances of the law kept. But in them, there's no person, only types. Just types. He never said, in seeing those, mine eyes have seen salvation. Salvation's not in sacraments, not in baptisms, not in communions, not in what a world of religions thinks it's in. It's in a person. He's the only salvation. And then our Lord is God's salvation. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In the person of Christ, we see God's covenant with His elect, don't we? I will give to you, he told his son, I will give to you a people. The promised, predestinated, prepared salvation of God is in Christ our Lord. This is the salvation that the Scripture tells us. They said that you will hear of me through Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. This is what all of those pointed to. It was all dark, spake in symbols and in types, and then, boom, it was there. Right there in the temple, in this baby, was salvation. It's there. All of a sudden, it burst forth. And look at how the progression of that. It went from types and symbols for hundreds of years. And then for 33 years, we had it physically. But how blessed we are. We have the full revelation of what it's all about. Oh, we got a lot of responsibility, this world does. Not just believe, this world has, man, to whom much light is given, much as this world has got the full light. And we got 12, 15, 16, 20 folks in here. You don't think they're going to be responsible one day? Can take the person to Christ or leave it? Come as you want, every 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, however you want to come. He's a salvation planned and provided by God Almighty. A salvation who manifests and glorifies God. It's a God-like salvation because it's just and merciful. It suits God to a T. That's what he said. He said, in him, I'm well pleased. It suits God. God gave his son. His son is God's salvation. Then Simeon saw salvation in its essence. What I say a while ago, the essence of salvation is in a person. It's in Christ. Simeon saw salvation as he held his one-month-old baby. He saw salvation. He held it. As he held Jesus, he held God in human flesh. That's why we can say Jesus. He held Jesus, but he held God in human flesh. Divine nature and mysterious union with the human. The infant in that sinner's hands was the infinite God. See how you take the person out of him if you're not careful? That's a month-old baby. A month-old child. That's God. He did it for us. Did all that for us. Feeble baby. How feeble is a one-month-old? They can't do anything. Nothing. Feeble baby in humanity. Omnipotent, though, in deity. We can't wrap our hands, our minds around it, can we? Son of man, son of God. That's what he's saying when a child born, a son given. We can't grasp it. But in this is man's salvation. In his essence, he was also a poor child. Mary must redeem him with what? She didn't have the typical... She had the poor person's sacrifice, didn't she? Or the poor person's redemption offering. Pair of doves or pigeons. Either one. Poor woman holding a poor child. A man of sorrows? Wasn't that what the scripture said? A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief? Poor child, a carpenter's son. But in that, he was touched with all our feelings. He brought salvation to the lowest. To the lowest. The poorest. He can have a king. Then in his essence, why did Mary bring him? Why did she bring him to the temple? To redeem him. The firstborn by law must be redeemed. This babe was under the law for us. I didn't count them, but if you'll go back and read that, read how many times the law is mentioned prior to Simeon taking that baby. He was under the law for us, for our sakes, as a child. He who redeemed us must himself be redeemed. Because all those precepts... He obeyed, his parents obeyed to a T. To a T. Because they were obeyed, pure salvation is for you and I. Pure salvation. Unadulterated. Not flawed. Don't have to put our finger, we flaw it. He's accomplished every part of it. That's what the scripture says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's what this is about. That's what He's talking about. From a 40-day-old child, it started to redeem us. See, we would have been late. If it had been left to us, God guided Mary and Joseph at the right exact time. We'd have been late. We'd have messed up the law already. Then Simeon saw salvation guaranteed. His birth, incarnation, was the beginning of substitution. The beginning, this beginning, was the guarantee of completion. Our Lord, wouldn't have taken on our nature, on the nature of man, had He not intended to redeem him. And I'll prove that to you. Don't turn, let me read Hebrews 2:14 for you. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. As He took this nature to go and die. And I think Simeon, I'll get to this, Simeon saw that. Simeon saw it. In Jesus, he saw, Simeon did, perfect obedience to God. Brought under the law, the redemption money was paid, and all things needful for man's salvation was guaranteed. Scripture says, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then I think Simeon saw his death. He knew from the prayer. Look over at Isaiah 53. See, Simeon had probably read this. I think as he held that 1-month-old child, he saw this. I think he thought, as he held him, he said, For this child shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I bet he was beautiful to Simeon, though, wasn't he? He is despised and rejected. This 1-month-old child is going to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This child, Simeon saw this. Simeon saw his death. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed, this child. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on this child, on him, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was just as innocent as a man as he was this child. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken, this little child. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Sinless substitute. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. This is salvation. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's what Simeon saw in that child. He saw his coming. They had to it. If he knew this was salvation, he had to know what it took for salvation, didn't he? He wasn't ignorant on it. Others were. His own mother was really. You see that in his crucifixion, but not Simeon. Simeon was aware of all this. Simeon knew in this child was that sacrifice. This is that human sacrifice that Isaiah is talking about. Most beautiful face I'm sure Simeon's eyes had ever seen would be one day marred more than any man. While for us, he suffered the wrath of the Father. All that's there in Isaiah. But I think he also saw his resurrection. I do. I think he saw Mary leave with that redeemed child. And I think he saw that all would be accomplished. He would go back to the Father as Mary went home with her redeemed child. He saw it all. I really do. I think he saw every bit of the gospel in that child. Here's salvation. You must see Christ. You got to see Christ. In him is life and hope. He's all salvation. Not going to find it, just like Simeon didn't. You're not going to find it in yourself, in outward doings, and ordinances, and works of the law. All its substance is in him. There's no deficiencies in him. We don't need to add anything to him. He suffered all that justice, all that his Father required. Christ is all in all. That's what's true. For in him you are complete. And then this taking Christ into his arms. Although it's a physical action, I think overwhelmingly it's a spiritual act. Simeon held the baby, but his heart laid a hold of a king, didn't it? He beheld a baby with his physical eyes, but his soul's eyes saw the Messiah. It had to be that way. If not, he had to said, Mary, I love this baby. Can I come visit again? Can I come to your house or will you bring him back? He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? He said, now I've seen it, I can depart in peace. Seen all he needed to see. I see in that grasp in the arms, that holding of that child, I see a grasp of faith. Simeon said, he's mine. He's mine. I take him as my salvation. Simeon said, that was saying something. He said it for that whole self-righteous temple group to hear. He said, for the whole world of religion, as far as he knew, to hear it. He wasn't ashamed, was he? Not ashamed to put his eternal hope in this little child, in this baby. There were others who weren't ashamed. That woman with the issue of blood, she grasped him. Blind Bartimaeus grasped him. He wasn't ashamed. Zacchaeus grasped him, didn't he? They all took hold by faith. And that's what we all do, don't we? Take the whole of Christ, not part of him. We take him all. We hold him all. What a blessing, a mercy that Christ can be taken into sinner's arms. He that in the beginning was with God, was God, can be taken by men, by faith, in their arms. It's amazing, isn't it? Be ours. He could be ours. It was a grasp of love. Don't you think old Simeon probably hugged him? Probably, don't you think he kissed on his head and his ears? You know how we do babies? Mary did. Mary kissed his feet, didn't she? I think Simeon kissed him. Is that wrong? Loved him. Loved him. He said, my eyes have seen thy salvation. Do you do that? Do you say, "My Jesus, I love you. I know thou art mine." Heaven of heavens can't contain you. Yet, we can hold him all for our own. He's all mine, just as much as he's all yours, or all yours. He's not divided. He's all mine, but he's all yours. His eyes gazed on him with so many emotions. Happy, blessed, satisfied, loving. "My eyes, Simeon thought, see you. Everything about you." He looked, he looked, he looked, he looked some more. He saw all these things I've been talking about by that look. And so do we. Just a look, and we see. Take him as ours, don't we? Then our eyes become centered upon him. And the older we get, the more centered they stay. Let us continually just dwell and study and adore him. Which is the last point. Grasping Christ has some effects, and they're lifetime effects. Christ never gets old. Once you hold him, he never gets old. You could hold him. Sometimes I hold him little old grandbabies, and I could hold them, just hold them, hold them. When they're sleeping, especially, just keep holding them. Never gets old. We get old, don't we? We do. Simeon was old. We get old, but Christ never gets old. He renews us, don't he? Renews us every day. There's a fellow over in 2 Samuel called Barzillai. Old man. Old man who had defended David. You can read about him in 2 Samuel 19. But Barzillai made a call. He said, "Can thy servant," that's because of age, he said, "Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink?" You reach a point in age where nothing really tastes any different than anything else. You just eat to eat, drink to drink. Yet Jesus to Simeon is food and drink of greatest quality. It was great, wasn't it? He was renewed that day, wasn't he? Barzillai said, he said, "I can bear no more the sound of music, the sound of singing." But O Simeon, like all who hold to Christ, he's music to the ears, isn't he? Renewed music, sweet music, music forevermore, isn't he? Solomon, Jason was there this morning. Solomon in his old age said, he said, "The grasshopper is a burden." And the whole gist is children become a burden. They do. I mean, you're less tolerant of them. The crying drives you nuts sometimes. But don't you think, not this child of Simeon. I bet if he cried that day, it was like music to him, wasn't it? Didn't bother him at all. Solomon says the sun, the light, the moon, the stars, they're all darkened. But your eyes get dim. Simeon saw clear that day, didn't he? He's renewed. That's the effects of Christ. He renews you daily. Solomon says folks tremble. The old tremble for lack of strength. It's hard to hold things up. I already do that. Can't hold a nail gun up anymore without trembling. Tremble for lack of strength. Boy, Simeon could have held that baby all day long. All day long. His biceps would have never gotten tired. Just hold him. Hold him. Solomon said your desire fades as you get old. Everything. Nothing matters much. Christ always matters, though, don't he? That's always your desire. You find Christ, you find all. In him is strength. Sight, hope, faith. He's all in all. He's all in all. And I hope, for me at least, and for you, I hope that he becomes more and more dear to me every day.